You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Jalen Hurts, former Alabama, Oklahoma quarterback, now the starting quarterback for McLovin's Philadelphia Eagles. He'll join us coming up. Also, Darius Rucker, Miami Dolphins apologist, will stop by. We'll recap college football with Greg McElroy, the former Alabama quarterback. He was on the call for Notre Dame and Florida State, the game that went into overtime. Best and worst of the weekend weren't here yesterday. We'll bring it back today. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend coming up. Your phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address is dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. All new season of the Peacock original comedy, AP Bio, streaming now. Class back in session. Even more not to learn. Don't miss the great new season or binge the entire series from the beginning only on Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com. Sign up now. Believe it or not, it's time for NFL fans and fantasy players to start studying the injury report closely because the season arrives in 2 days. And now you have the injury / COVID list because players are going into protocols. They could miss a substantial time this season. And we learned over the weekend the Cowboys star offensive lineman Zach Martin went on the COVID list and more than likely will miss Thursday's season opener against the Buccaneers. You want to be at full strength facing Tampa, that defensive front, that entire defense. Just ask Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But, the bigger issue is how the COVID rules are going to play out from week to week. And there's a good chance a starting quarterback will have to sit out a game at some point. Even with the extra game this year, the season is short. Each game means so much. Teams can't afford to lose players even for a week. And they say the NFL season is a war of attrition. That battle could be a lot more complicated this year as teams try to deal with a new set of rules, keeping their players on the field. Adam Schefter said that Zach Martin will not play Thursday. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk said there's an outside chance that Zach Martin will play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll settle on a poll question for hour two, McLovin. Are we going to use the same one we had in hour one?
Well, hour one was who had the worst loss of the weekend. LSU ran away with that one. I do want to. I have a Cowboys poll, but I can save it for after Jalen Hurts because I know the.
No, you can give it to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zach Martin out. Are the Cowboys trending up right now or trending down right now?
Well, they're always trending because they're the Cowboys.
Right.
I don't know if they trend even when they're not good.
I feel like they were trending up because Hard Knocks was a relative success. It was just fine. Dak's going to play.
You know what would help them trending up is winning. But they get more publicity than all the teams combined, it feels like.
Winning's irrelevant. We're still going to talk about them.
We will, and their value continues to skyrocket. But, there's a lot of questions there. If Zach Martin doesn't play, that defense is really good. Zeke Elliott, he always looks like he's in the best shape of his life every training camp. You got the Dak Prescott questions, and now how much are you asking of him? He was a great story when he wasn't making $40 million. Now when you start to make that kind of money, that's when we go, okay, let's put up the numbers here. Now you become a pass-first team. Because it used to be, when Dak first started out, the teams were trying to put the Cowboys into those, third and long. That they wanted to put Dak into an obvious passing situation. Now it feels like they're going to be a little bit more proactive with passing first down or second down, not necessarily waiting to third down. And you do have the weapons there. You got wide receivers, but the Cowboys are always going to trend. Yeah, Paul.
They were 0-4 in the preseason, in a preseason with only 3 weeks of games. I don't even know how they did that. Cowboys were 0-4 in the preseason.
Yeah. They lost the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. Peter King has his Super Bowl pick. Don't know if anybody's looked at it. McLovin famously always tries to cheat and find out something. Do you know Peter King's Super Bowl pick?
No. Okay. He gave us a clue in his last interview here.
All right. Paulie, did you happen to look?
I did not.
Okay. Fritzy?
I did not look.
Okay. So in other words, nobody read Peter King's column. Is that what you're saying?
See, wow, you baited us.
I got you. This was a trick.
That's not cool.
This was a trick.
It was sneaky.
Yeah, well, wait till you tell Peter King, Fritzy, when you book him next time.
Oh, you want me to come on, but you have no idea what the topics are, what I wrote.
Okay, who wants to guess? Do you guys want a hint? No hint.
No hint.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, not yet. Okay, Todd?
All right. I have Aaron Rodgers being on a mission after all the off-season stuff will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, and the wagons will be successfully circled in Buffalo. Bills Mafia finally gets their Lombardi Trophy. Packers Bills.
Okay.
With the Bills winning.
What's wrong, Paulie?
I have written down Packers over Bills.
You do now after Todd.
No, I have Bills over Packers, so it's not exactly.
All right. Okay. All right. So that's two with the Bills and the Packers in the Super Bowl. McLovin?
He said on the show that he was seriously considering doing a repeat of last year's Super Bowl, even though it hasn't happened in decades. So I'm going to go with the Bucks and the Chiefs.
Nope. Gutsy call by you, by the way. But no.
Well, he said it. I thought that he was going to go with it.
I thought he said that he didn't want to do that.
No, he said he was tempted. He said, I won't do it because of this, which I thought meant he will do it.
Okay. Seton O'Connor.
I'm going with the Rams over the Ravens.
Rams, Ravens. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody has the exact matchup, but you have mentioned the two teams that will meet in the Super Bowl. Yes, McLovin.
I bet I'm right on the NFC. I'll bet he has the Bucs.
What are you willing to bet?
Nothing now.
yes, yeah, it's not the Buccaneers.
The Bills.
It is the Bills.
There's a lot of hype on the Bills.
Yes.
Rams-Bills?
Rams-Bills, with the Rams beating the Bills, and then you would have back-to-back Super Bowls hosted by the team in that city winning, just like Tampa Bay did. That's what Peter King has. Yes, McLovin.
Has there ever been a Super Bowl with two teams with shorter names than Rams-Bills? I don't think so.
Well, why don't you try to look that up while I bring in Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback, joining us on the program. Now, you were at Alabama, started your career there, then you transferred to Oklahoma. If both of those teams are playing a game on Saturday, which game are you watching?
I'm flipping back and forth. You know, lucky this week, Alabama, I think Oklahoma played before Alabama played, so I was able to watch Oklahoma and then ABC. Alabama came on next, so I got the best of both worlds.
What if Alabama played Oklahoma and both head coaches called you and wanted to have your thoughts on it? Who would you call back first?
Probably, I can't put them on three-way. I can't do that. but I definitely talk to them both. And the beautiful thing about both of those schools is I have so much love for both of them. I've made great memories at both universities. Have a lot of respect for both coaches and what they do and what they stand for. So I guess I got the best of both worlds.
Now, do you know about we had Josh Jacobs on. And I said, all right, you got to tell me a story about Saban. And he said Saban's funny in practice, he said, but he likes to use the expression D's nuts. Did Coach Saban ever use the expression D's nuts to you?
Man. Yeah, Coach Saban has his way of doing things. He's definitely a character. He's definitely funny.
Is that a yes, Jalen?
Hey, he may use that. He may use something else. he has jokes, though. So it's funny that you bring that up because – I don't know that. It's just funny.
And true.
That's a random funny thing, I feel like.
What was it like, though, when you decided to leave? What was that feeling like?
You know, when I left Alabama, I wanted to leave the right way. You know, and I wanted to get my degree. I wanted to graduate. I felt that was very important for me. And I got that. And honestly, Coach Saban, we talked, and he wasn't the reason why I made the decision I made, but the fact that he was honest and gave me a helping hand with the process and stuff like that, he wanted to see me succeed and shine, and he encouraged me to go to the school with the best players, you know, that was Oklahoma, and considering what they had done with quarterbacks before me, Baker and Kyler. It all worked out the way it was supposed to.
What did those two say to you when you reached out to Baker and Kyler?
They just told me, you know, trust coach, trust this process we have here at Oklahoma, and come in and be yourself. You know, they told me, you know, you won a lot of games. You've had a lot of success already. And I mean, you have championships. So just be yourself and everything will fall into place.
When's the last time you felt totally secure in your job as a quarterback?
I always feel secure. Every day, Ren is due. I've always said that you have to, you know, take those steps every day. But that's a self-imposed thing.
Well, what was your reaction when the Eagles traded for Gardner Minshew?
A great addition to the room. I mean, that's a decision they made, and we talked about it. So it was a great addition to the room.
But you don't feel threatened by it?
It's another player I can lean on with Joe and learn from. I know Gardner has some experience playing, as Joe does, and it's all helpful for me.
Have you exchanged jerseys with anybody in the NFL?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I have with a few of my old teammates, a few friends.
What about rivals or the opposing quarterbacks? You done that yet?
Not just yet. You know, last year they made a big deal about it with the COVID virus and everything. So they had limitations on it.
Tell us what you're doing with the FedEx Air and Ground NFL Awards this year.
Yes, I've been working with them. They're actually launching a campaign to encourage fans to vote weekly for FedEx Air and Ground Player of the Week. And FedEx has been doing this for the past 19 years. It's a great thing. I say that because they're donating about $4,000 every week to HBCUs across the country to, you know, let them fulfill their needs as a school. It's just a great thing. I'm happy to be a part of it.
You got your communications degree, or did you minor in communications at Alabama?
Minored in communications, major in public relations.
All right. So what do you want to do when you grow up?
I want to play football, but I think if I go back, it won't last forever, obviously. But thought about maybe coaching or being in the operations role or whatever it is. Somewhere I can lead or impact the people around me.
Could you see yourself playing when you're 45 like Tom Brady?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. I don't even know what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight.
Brady is 21 years older than you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. He's had a great career.
Hey, good luck this season, and great to talk to you. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Nice to meet you.
That's Jalen Hurts. I think I got him with the D's nuts. D's nuts is always, that's the go-to with the Alabama guys because they're so, you know, worried about saying something about Coach Saban. But when Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Raiders, told us that story, or he validated that story, when sources close to me told me that Saban likes to say that to his players, for some reason, that's the funny line, the D's nuts. And then, of course, me being the journalist that I am, asking Coach Saban about D's nuts, and then he did confirm that. Of all the questions I've asked on this show, of all the interviews that I've done, thousands of interviews, did you ever think that I would be asking Nick Saban about using that the expression D's nuts?
And he wouldn't hang up, and he would actually return to the show months later.
Yeah. How many players... So Tom Brady is going into his 22nd season. He's 44. How many quarterbacks are younger than Tom Brady as far as the number of years? So let's see. He's older than some coaches here. Sean McVay, Zach Taylor, Brandon Staley, Arthur Smith, Kevin Stefanski, Joe Judge, Nick Sirianni, Brian Flores, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Cliff Kingsbury, Robert Sala, and Matt Nagy. Wow. Players that are younger than Brady's entire career. These are players born after Brady started his career. Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Penei Sewell, and six more rookies. You know, Jalen Hurts is 23. Brady is going into his 22nd year. Yeah, Paul.
In a couple of years, there'll be some NFL rookie going, and you say, I grew up watching Tom Brady as a Buccaneer, not as a Patriot, as a Buccaneer. Excuse me?
We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. The Dolphins make him cry. Darius Rucker. It's a good team this year. I don't have him making the playoffs, though. So we'll check in with the country star. Also, recap college football weekend. Greg McElroy will join us. He was on the call Notre Dame, Florida State. We'll take a break. 17 after the hour. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. He's a grown man, and his football team still makes him cry. He's Darius Rucker, the country music star, and currently headlining shows across the country. Had an opportunity to see him a week ago in Connecticut. Latest single, My Masterpiece, climbing up the charts. How are you this morning, Darius?
I'm good, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Do you bet on college football?
Yes.
Do you bet well on college football?
I don't bet well on anything. No, I'm awful, but I still do it.
Do you? What's your worst beat? Your bad beat?
Oh, I've gotten some bad beats. Probably the worst beat I ever got was an NBA game, and you know how at the end of NBA game, like at the end when you're getting really beat down, you know, you dribble the ball out and nobody scores. Well, I had the under. And it was 1 point under, and some rookie was in the game for the Knicks. And a rookie was in the game, and there's 12 seconds left. They're down 20. And he grabs the rebound and races down the court and lays it up to go over. And it was the worst beat I ever had.
We always talk about the bad beats, but do you have – because we do get those wins where you're like, and oh, by the way, and somebody kicks a field goal or whatever it might be.
Yeah,
because I had a bad beat. I don't remember the ones that I actually did well on, but there was one where Chester Markle was the field goal kicker for the Packers. All he has to do is kick a field goal against the Bears, and I cover. The Bears block the field goal. It goes back to Chester Markle, and he runs it in for a touchdown, and I lose on that.
That's a bad beat right there.
That is a bad beat. It's one of the reasons why, among the many reasons, I don't gamble anymore. I can't do
it. Makes sense. Didn't work for me. I still do it, and I still, you know, I guess I got to give somebody some money because I just love to do it.
But do you ever bet against your favorite team, the Dolphins?
Never. I've never bet against the Dolphins or the Gamecocks in my life, and I don't bet on them either, though.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, should you bet against them? If I gave you a guarantee you were going to win a bet against your South Carolina Gamecocks or Miami, but everybody was going to find out that you bet against that team, which team would you bet against, South Carolina or Miami?
Ooh, good question. If I had to bet against one, I'd probably bet against the Gamecocks. Yeah. You know, probably just because we don't cover a lot sometimes.
How would you describe your setup at South Carolina home games?
Oh, I have my tailgating setup is second to none. I have a great – I got my little fenced-in area with my cockaboos and you know, our artificial grass. And my setup is the best setup for tailgating in South Carolina, for sure.
I didn't want to go into the game. I wanted to stay in the train car.
Yeah, we had a blast. Yeah, that's what a party is. Yeah.
And the train car is big enough to entertain, and then there's an outdoor area there as well. I mean, you know.
It's a party.
I mean, I'm letting the Danettes know they're not going to be invited, but if they ever win, I could send you pictures the next time.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can come and send pictures to them, and they'll be okay.
Yeah. When's the first time you noticed the Dolphins? Like, what happened where you went, that's my team now?
I was 5 years old, and the Dolphins were playing the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. And my family, all my whole family was over to watch the game. And I remember being 5 years old and going around and asking everybody who they were rooting for. And everybody was rooting for the Cowboys. I mean, everybody. And so I decided that day that I was going to root for the Dolphins. And I did in the Super Bowl, and they lost. I remember, you know, being a little kid, probably shouldn't have still been awake, but they lost, and I cried. And then the next year, I started playing Pop Warner football, and, you know, the Dolphins went undefeated. So it was really easy to be a fan, and I've been a fan ever since. So that was fine.
And but do they still make you cry?
No, after that 1-15 season, I stopped crying. That was it. No more crying after that season.
Are you all in on Tua?
Yeah. Yes.
Wait a minute.
Flores is in, I'm in.
But if you could get Deshaun Watson.
I like Deshaun. We don't know what we're going to get with Deshaun, you know, but I think he's a great player. But I'm with whatever Flores wants to do, I'm in.
Are you singing the national anthem anytime soon?
Yes, at the home opener, I am.
Oh, so wait, you're going to be in New York on Saturday. And then you're...
Yes.
Oh, when did the Dolphins open up?
No, they're on the road this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The next weekend.
How much do you rehearse a national anthem?
Not at all. I don't rehearse it, but I tell you one thing I do when I'm about to do it, before I go on, I'm making sure I'm in the right key. I'm like, the whole time I'm going, oh, say, because if you start that thing too high, you have a Carl Lewis moment. And that would not be very good. I don't want a Carl Lewis moment.
Have you had one of those moments?
No, because I always started low enough. I really haven't had one of those moments. So, that's still one of my favorite things I've ever seen on television. So, no, I don't want one of those moments.
What do you hear, though, when you're doing the anthem?
Just me singing, really. You know, that's all I want. Just hearing me sing and try not to miss the notes and really try not to forget the words.
But you don't hear that echo, though, in the stadium.
You do, but, like, stadiums now have a monitor. Most stadiums now have a monitor. Like, I did it in Yankee Stadium years ago. David Wells had me come out and do it in Yankee Stadium, and they didn't have a monitor. And I usually do the anthem at probably about a minute 16. And that day, I did it in, like, 3 minutes because I had to keep waiting for the echo to stop. It was awful. It was awful.
The best anthem ever was done by who?
The worst one ever?
The best.
The best ever? Probably, I think it's a tie between Kate Smith and, I know, the Marvin Gaye one. Marvin Gaye and Whitney Houston, the two best ever.
Because Whitney did it at the Super Bowl in Tampa.
Right. And Marvin did it at the NBA All-Star game. And they were both, those are my two favorites.
I remember watching the Marvin Gaye one, but I was there when Whitney Houston did that one in Tampa. And it was spectacular.
It's the greatest rendition I've ever heard of it. It was amazing.
You're doing the 9/11 show. That's going to be in New York City this weekend coming up?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, me and a bunch of other guys.
What's happening with the 9/11? This is Pier 17 this weekend, the anniversary of 9/11 this Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's a guitar pull. A bunch of us are going to sit around and play some songs for the folks. It's really to commemorate 9/11. It's been, you know, it's that day will always live in our in the lexicon of America. So, you know, to be a part of that is just, I think it's really special. And the lineup's incredible. It's going to be awesome.
You ever get intimidated with any? You said you'd love to perform with Paul McCartney, but is there anybody where you went, wow, I'm actually singing?
Yeah, when you do a guitar pull with Chris Stapleton and he's got to sing right before you, that's awful.
You know what that's I do? Awful. This is how much of a friend I am to Darius. I'll send him Chris Stapleton songs just to let him know that guy can sing. I tell him the story, though, about Chris Stapleton, who's one of the great songwriters. But didn't you have a rule with Chris Stapleton if he wrote you a song?
Oh, we have a rule. I have a rule with him when we write together that he can't sing the demo because he sang the demo the comeback song. And so we're making the record and my producer's like, hey, man, I love this comeback song. And I'm like, man, I'm not really feeling that one, man. You know, I don't want to do it. He's like, man. So finally we're almost done. And And he goes, man, why don't you want to do the comeback song? And I was like, have you heard the demo? I can't sing it like that. That guy's amazing. I can't sing it like that. So, yeah, that's our rule. He can't sing the demo if we write a song.
Did you almost not become a singer?
I mean,
like,
yeah.
What would you have done?
I wanted to do what you do, but, you know, I'd probably be bartending, playing at the Windjammer on Friday night.
Wait, you wanted to be a sportscaster?
I went to school for that, yeah. Broadcast journalism.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you put a resume tape together? Do you have...
Oh, goodness, no, dude. I started doing the boobs. I was 19. I didn't have a resume tape. Once Hootie started, this is all I was going to do.
Oh, so then you didn't do a local radio station or campus station?
No, I was just in school for it, and then Hootie started, and I didn't... You know, this is the only job I've had since then.
Is Hootie going to come back at any time?
You know, we're doing that thing in Cancun, which is going to be cool. And I'm sure we'll tour again sometime. Probably no time soon, but we'll tour again sometime.
Well, you waited, 25 years to do it again, didn't you? Or how many?
Dude, it was 15 years between Hootie tours.
15.
Yeah, which is crazy. That's crazy.
But 15 years. Who were some of the people who went backstage with you guys? Where all of a sudden you go, oh, my God, that person knows who we are?
Oh, the R.E.M. guys, that was when they were doing, like, when Mike Mills started hanging out and stuff, that freaks us out. Like, to get him on stage playing, you know, Rockville or something, that freaks us. It was this last tour, it was really cool. It was a bunch of stars came backstage and everything. We were surprised, you know. We still think we're just the luckiest dudes on the planet. But it's been really cool. That tour was a lot of fun.
Well, you basically started your career just doing R.E.M. songs.
Yeah, there was one point in our set where we had like 10 R.E.M. songs.
10 out of how many songs?
10 out of 27.
Do you have a cover song that you went, this didn't go well? This isn't good.
Oh, yeah. The first song we ever stopped playing was The Sultans of Swing. We played that once, and it didn't go well. It didn't go well.
Why did you think that you could channel the Dire Straits?
We were young. And thought we couldn't. It was not very good. No.
Do you know we had John Hall on for Hall & Oates?
I did.
John Oates of Hall & Oates. Yeah, so we had him on last week. And,
oh, cool.
And Fritzy sang a duet with John Oates.
I bet that was really good.
But he didn't sing a Hall & Oates song.
What'd he sing?
Wait, you sang a Righteous Brothers song.
Oh, there was the...
You lost that love and feeling.
Yeah, you lost that love and feeling. That.
I know, yeah. But it was a cover, but you didn't really do a whole... That'd be like somebody saying, hey, let's do a duet with a Hootie and the Blowfish song, but we're going to do a cover. We're going to do an R.E.M. song.
But no, I'm with Fritz on that one. That song, yeah, that's the song. I love their version of that song, man. I'm with you, Fritzy.
Thank you. Because that's because John Oates sung a lot in that particular...
I know it wasn't
their original one, but that's one of the only Hall & Oates songs I could think of where he's like the main singer of that song.
Right, Fritzy, give Darius just a little bit of what you gave to
my John. Friends wonder why I call you all the time. What can I say? I don't feel the need to give such secrets away because your kiss
now,
is on
your kiss.
My list.
But you don't want somebody's reaction to be laughing.
No.
Especially that
That's
laugh.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
It sounded really good, Fritzy.
Thank you.
No, he didn't. It didn't. No.
It did.
No, it didn't.
It did.
You never did. Close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
See, you're holding on now. You don't want to laugh out loud.
I'm trying not to laugh.
Okay.
That was really good for it.
Yeah.
So he's got my back.
Okay. McLovin has a show bet for you, Darius.
So this is for the Danettes, all four Danettes.
Okay.
We are going to bet. We want the Patriots to have more wins this year than the Dolphins. And if the Patriots do, you have to host us at a football game at South Carolina.
Deal.
Well, he'll host you even if that doesn't happen.
You guys just said that it was going to be you and we're going to send us pictures. We got so jealous.
Oh, well, it's a great setup. But now it's an official bet.
Yes. I don't know what Darius wins if the Dolphins. Well, he'll be happy if the Dolphins beat the Patriots.
Exactly. I'll take that.
All right. So I'll maybe see you on Saturday night.
I'll be looking for you, man.
Well,
looking forward to it.
But there might be other, like, bigger country stars there, so I don't know if I'll.
Yeah, Zach Brown's going to be there, so we already got that. You know, this is going to be bigger. We just start there, you know. I'm like number 7 on the totem pole. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You're still doing.
I'm going to have to sing first.
Yeah. Who is the best celebrity singer you guys ever had?
Singer, Don Mikowski,
the former Packer quarterback.
Yes, he sang "Let Her Cry," and he sang it the way I wrote it. It was unbelievable. But the best musician ever. This is a quick story I can tell you. I get a phone call. You know, I'm really good friends with Coach Carlisle, who coached the Pacers now. Used to coach the Mavericks.
Yeah, he can play piano.
We're playing Dallas, and he goes, "Hey, man, you know, I know you're coming to play, but I play piano. Can I play with you?" And so we are like. You let people do it, but you're like, man, you know, we do this thing on, I was like, what do you want to play? He's like, "Let Her Cry." We're like, oh my goodness. We do this thing on "Let Her Cry," but okay, we do this piano breakdown, you know, okay, we'll let you play. And we get there and we start playing the song and he starts playing piano and everybody in the band couldn't believe it. He was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. And we get to the breakdown and he killed it. And I after the show, I was like, "Coach Carlisle, you can play with us anytime you want." He was unbelievably great.
What happens when John Daly shows up and wants to come on stage and sing?
I turn to the band and go, "Y'all know Knocking on Heaven's Door? Let's do it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
The last time he sang it was at the Monday after the Masters, your charity golf tournament. He got done with the song. He walked over off stage and kissed me on the mouth.
Yes.
No, that's not good. I was like, I never want to hear this song again. It's like John Daly just sang it. Okay. And he walked over and he just kept walking over and he grabbed my face and he kissed me on the mouth. And my son goes, "Does he do that every time he sings this?" And I go, "God, I hope not. I hope not." All right. So I'll see you this weekend. Thanks again. And good luck to your Dolphins this weekend.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, but that's Darius Rucker. He's got a lot of country hits, and my masterpiece is the latest single from him. Every time they show up somewhere, you know, somebody comes on stage, and John Daly only sings one song, "Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door." And you know it's coming, and he's coming out, and he's going to sing no matter what. And he does a nice job on it. But, you know, part of singing, it feels like his confidence. Having the confidence to sing. Because there are a lot of singers, like Tom Waits is not a great singer, but he's a great writer and he's got confidence. Bob Dylan, probably not considered a great singer, but he's a great writer and has confidence there. There's something about that. Willie Nelson for a long time was just writing songs and then all of a sudden he started singing. Chris Stapleton, he's written, I don't know how many songs, thousands of songs it feels like. And then he started recording these songs, and you go, that dude is one of the great singers that you hear. All right, we'll take a break. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you hours. More phone calls coming up. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Best and worst of the weekend. Go around the room, then we'll get to more phone calls as well. I'll start back left with Todd.
Best of the weekend, after a career-threatening knee injury in 2018 that was supposed to have him walking in severe pain for the rest of his life. We mentioned it earlier. Florida State's quarterback Mackenzie Milton, a guest on tomorrow's show, comes into the game in the fourth quarter, leads the Seminoles to back-to-back scoring drives, forcing overtime. Worst of the weekend, a battle of two top five teams that I was pumped to watch turned out to be a dud. Clemson avoids getting shut out with a fourth quarter field goal, 10-3 loss to the Bulldogs.
All righty, McLovin.
My best is going to be Canadian tennis player Layla Fernandez, who beat two number one seeds, including Naomi Osaka. Randomly, I haven't watched all the U.S. Open, but she's got to be 5'2", just killing it out there. My worst, I'm going to go with Todd. I was so excited for Clemson, Georgia, and I could not stay awake.
Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
I have no bets, only worst. And it's Weston McKennie from the U.S. men's national team, who's one of the superstars there. He's one of the biggest names. He plays in Italy for Juventus. He got suspended for the World Cup qualifiers for violating COVID protocol. He may have violated a bunch of other sort of teammate protocols as well. And now he was suspended for the game they just had against Canada, and now he was already sent back to Italy. They're like, you're not going to play any for the rest of these qualifiers. And he's one of their main players. It's just, and now they've tied Canada. It's like, good grief.
Paulie?
I got a couple. These are best. My Presbyterian Blue Hose, Dan, I'm sticking with him, 84-43 over the St. Andrews Knights. The quarterback for Presbyterian, Ren Heffley, yeah, don't sleep on him for the draft, 538 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's the coach from high school who doesn't punt. He's now coaching at Presbyterian. And his last name's Kelly. They do not have a punter on the roster. I don't know if there's some position player who punts in an emergency situation, but they don't punt. And then the other game, Youngstown State, my Penguins over Incarnate Word, 44-41 in overtime. Jaleel McLaughlin, 29 carries, 240 yards, and two touchdowns for your Penguins.
But at what point do you say we need to punt? If it's inside the 10-yard line, your own 10-yard line?
He doesn't punt. When he was in high school, he's a former high school coach. His last name's Kelly. I don't know his first name, for Presbyterian Blue Hose. He made his bones and got a lot of national publicity for never punting, and he was very successful. And he put up 84 points in the first game.
Yeah, but still, at there has to be a point where you go, if we go it on go fourth and one at our 9-yard line, or do we punt it? It seems like you're going to punt it. At what point on the field do you go, nah, we can't go for it on fourth down? Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, their nickname is the Blue Hose? What the heck is that?
The Blue Hose, like the Red Sox. I'm guessing.
Isn't there Pale Hose?
Kevin Kelly is the name of the head coach down at Presbyterian. He does not like punting at all. He's anti-punting.
Is blue? Are you sure Blue Hose is just that you wear blue socks?
Well, no, it's H-O-S-E. So we got to figure that. Is that a, does hose mean socks too? H-O-S-E?
Yeah, that's what I.
Their mascot is Scotty the Scotsman, and their colors are blue and garnet, and their nickname is the Blue Hose. Permit me a couple minutes for deep dive this one.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Look, it can't mean pantyhose. It just probably just means socks.
Yeah, but what do you think the hose in that part means? It's like the same thing.
Socks.
Yeah, socks.
Yeah, but you like the Red Sox and the White Sox?
I didn't know hose meant socks. But now that you say it, it does sound familiar.
In the early 1900s, your Blue Hose, that was the nickname. Sports writers locally called the Presbyterian College athletic teams the Blue Stockings because of the blue socks they all wore. Sometimes they used stockings or hose during the year. It is often shortened that way. And then the college just said, hey, let's pick this up in 1982 and said the
Blue Hose.
Blue Hose. Blue Hose in 1954.
Yes, Tom.
If they play Delaware, which is a more threatening, the Blue Hens or the Blue Hose? Who are you more frightened of?
A hen can peck you.
A hen.
Yeah. Hen can peck you. Yeah. Put holes in your hose.
Yeah. You're going to get runs in your hose.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
They faced off in the Blue Bonnet Bowl at one time, I remember.
Imagine if they played on Boise State's field, the blue field. It would look like they didn't have any calves, any legs, anything below their knees.
Floating.
Yeah, it'd be like, oh my God, look at that.
Everybody was really excited for that game, but ultimately it was a letdown. It was blue. Can't make the joke. No.
Yes.
I know how both teams got there. They flew JetBlue.
Thank you, McLovin.
Why are we doing this?
I have no idea.
Hey, that's why we bring up Presbyterian.
I was wondering this, and maybe somebody can help me, that the Rams over-under win total with Jared Goff for a full season was, I think, 10 wins. Matthew Stafford is there, and the over-under, I think, is 10 wins. Matthew Stafford with the Lions, the over-under was 5 wins. Jared Goff with the Lions, the over-under, I believe, is 5 wins. Just wonder. Supposed to be a big upgrade. Peter King's got him as the MVP this year. The Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. And like, okay. I might have been the first person to jump on the Matthew Stafford, jump on the odds for MVP. But, you know, here's the thing. Vegas doesn't care about storylines. They just want to pick, you know, this is the guy, these are the odds for MVP. While we may look at Matthew Stafford as, oh, he's finally playing on a good team. Sean McVay's got a quarterback who can run all the plays and make all the throws. But Vegas doesn't care. And you got Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, top three, and pretty top heavy there, I would think, for the MVP. But that's why I said if you could get – I think Stafford was – what were the odds how many months ago when he first got there? It felt like there were pretty long odds or favorable odds to jump on with Matthew Stafford. I don't know what they are now, but feels like he's probably in that second wave of MVP candidates. Do you guys see any Vegas odds for Matthew Stafford? Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, before the Rams acquired Stafford, they were 18-1. After the trade, they were 15-1.
Oh, to win.
To win the Super Bowl.
Okay, but what about Matthew Stafford for MVP? Oh, okay.
I could just tell you right now, I'm seeing 20-1, and he's about 7th on the list.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, definitely in that top tier. Yeah. I'll try and find out back then.
Who throws for more yards? This is going to sound crazy that I'm saying this. Matthew Stafford or Jameis Winston? It's for some reason, it popped into my head. Just crazy. And I'm going to make my Super Bowl pick probably on Thursday, a week from this Thursday. I would like to get that full week, you know, games coming up this weekend. Yes, we love.
It makes sense that Jameis Stafford thing because they both threw for 5,000 yards, and not many quarterbacks have ever done that.
I don't know.
I think people would take Stafford.
Yes,
I think
they would.
The public would take Stafford.
Well, they trust Stafford with the Rams and Sean McVay, I guess, more than Winston with a New Orleans team that won't have its best wide receiver. And Taysom Hill, you know, still waiting in the wings there.
He might be their best wide receiver, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. For Jameis to look better, Taysom Hill has to be good.
I loved you guys' theory that Taysom is going to drop one on purpose to get that starting quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. That throw wasn't right on the money. All right, more phone calls coming up here. 877-3DP-SHOW. What are we going to go in the final hour?
Oh, it's a doozy. You better stay in your car for this one. It's football related.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that usually means that you don't have one.
Well, when I say it's football related, I'm keeping it very general.
All right, we'll talk to Greg McElroy, the former Alabama quarterback, and he was on the call for Notre Dame and Florida State. 2 hours in the books, one more to go on this Tuesday. Seton Pauley, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly, back after this Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.